Fed watchers are watching closely.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Members of the Federal Reserve Board meet today to discuss the economy and interest rates. Investors and monetary experts are watching closely, but not because they expect any surprise announcement. Instead, they think the Fed could foreshadow some future moves, such as removing some of the stimulus measures put in place during the banking crisis, or when the Fed will decide to start raising short-term interest rates to more normal levels. Marketplace's John Dimsdale joins us from our Washington studio with the latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
And what are Fed watchers watching for?
Well, they really pore over these Fed statements that come out with the interest rate announcements, almost word for word, looking for clues. And for a while now, those statements have telegraphed that rates will stay at essentially zero for, quote, an extended period. That generally is thought to mean at least 6 months or so. The first sign that the Fed thinks the economy is generating its own momentum and doesn't need the stimulus of low interest rates is likely to be when they take that phrase, extended period, out of their statement.
Now, could that be today, John?
Well, in the speeches that Fed members have been giving recently, most are still talking about how fragile the recovery is. So that probably means the majority of the panel is not yet ready to change the signal. There's a growing sense among Fed watchers that the next meeting, at the end of April, just might be the time when the group takes the phrase out of the statement, telling the markets that the economy is strengthening and the time for higher rates is getting closer.
Is there any evidence that Fed members think the economy is strong enough already?
You know, there is one Fed member, one of the 11, who thinks that it is time to take extended period, that phrase, out of the statement. The question is, when will he be able to convince other colleagues that the recession is ending and that it is time to bring interest rates back into a more normal range?
Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale joining us this morning. John, thanks.
You're welcome.
There's a lot of criticism being pointed at accounting giant Ernst & Young. That's after last week's report on the collapse of Lehman Brothers. The bankruptcy examiner in the case took Ernst & Young to task for not challenging Lehman's shady accounting practices. And as Sarah Gardner reports, that criticism is tarnishing the industry's image.
Ernst & Young signed off on Lehman's financial statements despite the bank's use of what the examiner called accounting gimmicks that effectively hid billions in debt. Stephen Thomas, an attorney suing Ernst & Young in a separate case, says the big accounting firms are ineffectual watchdogs.
If you go all the way back to Enron, you see that in almost every instance in where we have numbers on Wall Street causing great harm, there was a certified public accountant who reviewed the numbers and gave them their stamp of approval.
But Randy Beatty, dean of USC's accounting school, believes Ernst & Young followed the law. He says Lehman's risky financial deals, not its auditors, caused its collapse.
To my mind, the auditors are simply the folks on the sideline that are trying to provide a snapshot of what's going on in the corporation.
Yesterday, though, Britain's top accounting regulator said he's now investigating Ernst & Young's Lehman audits there. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Quick check of the numbers. European stocks are up at the moment, 0.5% or more. In Asia, markets were mostly lower today. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P was flat, the NASDAQ lost a little, and the Dow gained a little, 17 points, to close at 10,642.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. By the new Harvard Business Review, a source of smart thinking for today's business world. The revival of smart begins at HBR.org. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
The South by Southwest Conference is underway in the heart of Texas, Austin, this week. The yearly gathering has become a must for people in the music, film, and in the technology industries. Now, this year, there's a new addition to the technology portion. It's a jobs booth. And as Marketplace web producer Melissa Kaplan reports, these days, there are a lot of people stopping by.
Andrea Moya is an unemployed web editor from New York. She came to South by Southwest this year to find a job.
Let's see what this is. Lynda.com, near Santa Barbara. I'm nowhere near Santa Barbara.
Moya scans help wanted postings at the career booth in a crowded exhibition hall at the Austin Convention Center. About 200 companies have tacked up open positions. Robin Cohn is among the volunteers staffing the booth.
We've got about, you know, usually like 5 or 10 people in the booth at any given time looking for jobs. Quite a few of them have taking notes and taking down information on their telephones.
South by Southwest organizers created the career booth as a way to formalize the networking that happens organically at the conference. For tech industry recruiters, the jobs booth is a potential goldmine. Molly Auer works for the Star Group, an ad agency in Philadelphia.
Well, this is a conference that brings in the best of the best in all of technology, so I'm hoping some of those people might be interested in coming to Philly and working for the Star Group.
Web editor Moya is hoping to stay in New York and is using the jobs booth to find out what companies are looking for.
I think it's understood that everybody's here trying to make connections and meet people that will eventually get them somewhere career-wise.
And if she strikes out on a job, at least she can stick around for a good show. The music portion of the conference kicks off Wednesday. In Austin, I'm Melissa Kaplan for Marketplace.
And finally, a decision's coming soon in a naming battle in Northern California. The LA Times says the U.S. Board on Geographic Names will decide whether to change Mount Diablo, the local landmark there, to Mount Reagan. A Bay Area man finds Diablo, which is Spanish for the devil, to be offensive. When word came of the request, a lot of people chimed in saying they find the name Reagan to be offensive. All in a day's work for the board. Recently, it rejected one man's idea to name a Utah rock formation the Golden Arches after the McDonald's logo, but didn't interfere with one Kansas town changing its name to Trailsview. The name had been Spasticville. And that, say city officials, had been an economic problem. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online. Grab the podcast at our website, marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.